Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Mike Blue, Jay Martinez here on a Thursday, getting you ready for the games ahead. Action tonight.
Should be a barn burner in San Francisco.
Can't wait for that one. Battle of the Bay. The teams are combined 2-13. This is like a little bit of a throwback Thursday night game, Dane, to when people wanted the NFL to stop playing on Thursday night because the games were so terrible. We got a little bit of throwback. Carr versus Beathard, not exactly how they drew it up a few months ago. No Dane. Okay. So Dane can't hear anything right now. We'll get him on in a second. So obviously we have the game tonight. It's Carr versus Beathard, and I'll get you the spread there in a second as well. That is currently San Francisco 2.5-point favorite. I know there's not much of a home field advantage there since Oakland is right nearby, but I do find it curious because it means that Vegas at least slightly gives the Raiders the edge when it comes to game action. So the 3-point bump for home field advantage does not apply here, I guess, to San Francisco. They like the Carr-led Raiders more than the San Francisco-led Beathard-led 49ers. So reality is we got that game going on tonight. We'll break it down a little bit later. Dane and I didn't really get a chance to talk too much about the trades that went down during the deadline. We obviously had a couple of big ones on Tuesday. We expected that a few things would happen that were significant, and Golden Tate to the Eagles is certainly one of those. Eagles really haven't played well at all this year. I think they're trying to stabilize that receiving core. They also need some stabilizing of the running back situation. They got a few different guys. Josh Adams, fairly popular on waiver wires in the last couple of days. But Golden Tate hopefully adding a little bit to what they're trying to do in Philly. And it leaves Detroit with the two-man duo of Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay. I think you can expect a significant bump for those guys the rest of the way. Theo Riddick, I think, personally, also sees a bump too. He has been injured, but we've said this before. When Riddick is out, it helps Golden Tate more than anything. So now with no Golden Tate around, when Riddick is on the field, you can suspect that he'll see a lot of those types of catches, maybe the first down throws, and maybe he sees an uptick. And I haven't found Riddick, obviously he's been injured, but I haven't found him to be terribly valuable even when he's been healthy this year. So this might help him a little bit as Detroit tries to stay more dedicated to a more balanced offense, but I think at the end of the day, they're still more comfortable throwing it. So that being said, we're going to take a look at some waiver wires that went down for me in some of my leagues yesterday. So, I've had a few teams. I've been, on the whole, pretty conservative this year when it comes to waiver wire pickups. A guy that I spent a lot of money on in some of my higher stakes leagues was Kiki Kuti, and that was about a month ago. And I've been hoping that he'd be valuable. Now I don't know what it's going to look like with Demaryius Thomas in the mix, plus the fact that Kuti can't even stay on the field. And he's a rookie. Two things that I tend to shy away from are encapsulated in this one player, an injured rookie wide receiver, an oft-injured rookie wide receiver. But I guess somebody would try to tell me that the exception is the rule and that Odell Beckham was an oft-injured rookie, or at least an injured rookie before he exploded on the scene. Now, Kuti's certainly not that guy. And we'll see how it goes. But I'll tell you exactly what happened in a couple of my leagues last night. A lot of defenses shifting around as obviously upon a big bye week this week.
Yeah, six teams on a bye.
Oh, so there you go. So
Dave, yeah, so, brother, okay, man. Good. Yeah, I'm happy to join. Good. I'm happy to join.
Okay, good.
I know you were talking about QT. It was interesting for me. I had people on social media, you know, early on Tuesday, trying to get ahead of the game, being like, what's your waiver priorities? Who should I draw? And I was like, let's all wait for a second. The landscape will change at 4 o'clock, you know, and it certainly did, especially for, I would say, guys like Kiki QT and guys like Courtin Sutton. Their outlook dramatically changed after the trade deadline.
Yeah. I mean, QT, I've been, you know, I had been in on, and I'm telling people, it just, you know, when he's healthy, he's going to be very valuable. But I just think it changes the dynamic there. I think they knew that they had a problem. Once Will Fuller went down, and they knew they can't rely on Kuti, who really is a different type of receiver anyway.
Sure.
They needed to add somebody like Demaryius Thomas. I think it's a good addition for them. I think it really helps Deshaun Watson. And I think, while I don't normally aspire subscribe to the theory that this guy's in a better situation now and it'll work right away, because wide receivers changing teams mid-season, that can be a really difficult transition. I normally wouldn't expect big things from Demaryius Thomas, but the way this team is structured, and they kind of want two home run hitter wide receivers or home run hitting ability, I think this could be a good thing. I know Demaryius Thomas isn't that guy. He's not taking the top off your defense, but Hopkins can do that a little bit.
Yep.
Maybe not in the same way that Fuller can. So I think this really is a good move for Demaryius Thomas and the Texans in general. We saw success from Lamar Miller these last 2 weeks, but clearly this team is built around Deshaun Watson being able to move the vertical passing game.
Yes, and I don't necessarily – I know Lamar Miller had a good last 2 weeks. I don't believe in it still. I think that what we saw last Thursday out of Houston was more a function of the bad Miami front seven.
Yeah.
You know, that also allowed 150-plus yards to carry on Johnson the previous week, you know. I think it's more – it was more that. I am actually very concerned. I think this Houston-Denver game is very interesting this week. I think that the Texans' O-line, you know, like they did not turn a corner last week by giving up zero sacks against Miami. And now they step up in pass rush class going against Von Miller and Nick Chubb. I mean, excuse me, and Bradley Chubb. I really think this could revert right back to Deshaun Watson getting pressured on every play, getting sacked five times, and kind of undercutting their offense.
Yeah. Now, as you know, we have the game tonight. It's Oakland and Niners, and we'll break that down a little bit later. But what people should know is I feel like sometimes people are just starting to get into setting their lineups as the Thursday night game approaches. We do have six teams on bye this week: Cardinals, Bengals, Colts, Jaguars, Giants, Eagles. So a lot of teams out there where people have been using their starting quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, we got Dalton and Luck and Wentz have been pretty regular in people's starting lineups. So there had to be a shift with some QBs. A couple of my leagues, I mean, every league where he was available, Ryan Fitzpatrick got picked up in the leagues that I'm in. I really needed him in one, and I just missed out on a bidding war. So that was the Scott Fish Bowl where we play Superflex, and I just have Brady coming up on a bye in a couple of weeks, and I will not have a second quarterback. I played without a second quarterback this past week when Matty Ice was on the bench, and I won, but it's bringing my point totals down, and I'm starting to drop a little bit in that league.
So out of 900, you're not first anymore? You're more like 13th?
I'm in 29th place, I believe. So doing okay. Still doing well. Joe Galina is in front of me by about nine spots. So another Roto expert doing pretty well. So just trying to, you know, you just try to keep pacing as much as you can. And when you're missing out on the QB points in a given week, you can still win. But you're really trying to rank as high as possible there, give yourself some buys and all that kind of good stuff. So let's see, some other guys I'm looking at here. I mean, Josh Doctson, Rashad Penny got dropped. I mean, kickers moving around, defense is moving around. I picked up Cameron Brait for us and dropped Charles Clay. That's our team that we share together. I know I didn't.
Sure.
I did it at like 3 in the morning when I woke up and realized that I had fallen asleep after too much candy and pizza. I had fallen asleep early and forgot to put in my waiver pickup, so I really did it at like 1:30 in the morning after I woke up. So we have Cameron Brait instead of Charles Clay. I felt like that was a better move with Fitz coming back and throwing the ball all over the place. I know Cameron Brait was a dud in the first 2 weeks with Fitz, but he bounced back after that, and I would prefer to have Cameron Brait other than Charles Clay simply because we have no idea who's going to be a quarterback for the Bills. Derek Anderson is still in concussion protocol right now. Peterman will be the starter if Anderson can't pass the concussion protocol with Matt Barkley, his backup.
Right. And then the Bears will be a survivor pick for many people this week.
No doubt. I don't think I used the Bears yet, so I should probably I don't care who's quarterback. Why would I care if Derek Anderson
or the Bears? No,
Nate Peterman is
me and Scott used the Bears last week. Me and Scott both used the Bears last week. You used Kansas City, so they're still available for you. I'll pencil them in for you.
Just put it in now, yeah. Just I mean, why? It doesn't matter. Did I care if Derek Anderson or Nathan Peterman is QBing? Like,
I don't think so.
They're getting worse.
I mean,
would you lay the 10 points, though? Would you lay the 10 points? 10.5 now. 10.5 now on the road.
I know the Pats covered the other night, but that was not an easy cover.
It was not. Trust me. I had the Bills plus 13.5, and I was, that pick six killed it for me.
Yeah, yeah, that was a sweat. So, yeah, I would I lay it? That's a good question. Would I lay those points?
And then in this game also, I know you don't want to spend too much on this game, but like I have, we're seeing something I don't think I've seen in the NFL yet this year. Blewett, the total in this game is 37. The total is 37 in this game.
Well, that goes, that helps you with your theory about never taking an under for the rest of the year. You
can, I know,
go over.
But
it was 31 the other day.
You know, but listen, the Pats, right? The Pats and the Bills was what, 24-6? That's 30. And you got to figure the Bears. You got to figure the Bears have a better defense and a worse offense, so maybe it's lower than that.
No, don't do it. Don't try to sell me on this under.
I'm passing. I'm not touching this one.
You should. And tonight's game, I heard you say that you're passing on this one as well. I'm not. Yeah. I wouldn't get anywhere near this one.
I'm not touching this one.
I mean, it. The Niners really are.
If it was,
right,
if Nick Mullins is the starting quarterback, if Nick Mullins starts for San Francisco, then I'll take the 3 points in Oakland.
Okay. Why? I mean, Reuben Foster is out for San Francisco. They really have had a ton of injuries, San Fran. But
oh, no, this is going to be one of those Thursday night clunkers.
Yeah.
I said it last hour. I think, you know, this is the game where we're going to have a random punt return for a touchdown to decide the game.
Yeah. I know. Get back to the Fitz thing. I feel like they could win a few games. I hope they obviously
you're
don't.
You're scared about that
I am.
Under, I know.
I am. I wanted Jameis to stay in as long as possible and throw a million interceptions. So, anyway, let's see what else we got from.
Oh, can I ask you one quick thing about that Jameis thing that I mentioned last hour? I was you know, watching some ESPN, and Steve Young had a theory that, like, John Fox and Louis Riddick, who I know that you appreciate, both were like, you know what, that's a good idea. The question is, like, you know, we talked about this, like, the organization probably wants to learn about Fitz, but Dirk Cutter's trying to save his own bacon, right? Mm-hmm. With the win, what you can win now. Steve Young came out and said what he would do is he would actually name Jameis as the starter, but also tell Jameis, literally, like, first time you throw a pick, you're gone. You're getting pulled. It's like a reliever going out in the seventh for the first base runner, then he's pulled. You know, because A, you got to figure out what you find in Jameis. B, you put some pressure on Jameis to perform. C, Fitzmagic kind of does better in that, like, just coming on in mode instead of being the guy, you know, with that no pressure. He could be carefree. And you try to then get the best play out of both of them.
It is funny.
And you still, like, put some pressure and find out about Jameis.
So they would say they would do that for this week? They would do that?
They said they would do that going forward, week to week. They would name Jameis the starter, but then, like, literally make it public that you throw a pick, you're coming out.
I get the sense that that priority happened behind the scenes, not publicly. Like, hey, you got to take care of the football. And then he goes out there and he throws three more interceptions. And they're like, all right, like, you can't. You
think he was on the short leash already last week?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, he threw three
picks. It wasn't that short.
He's exactly. He's thrown 10. He leads the league in interceptions, and he hasn't
and he's
played
only
the
played
whole
like
year.
Three games.
Right. So
it's ridiculous.
I think it's obviously. It is funny though. I didn't expect to waste an entire segment talking about Fitz, but it is interesting, like, how carefree he can play, right? He's like,
right,
all right, man, I've made $40 million. Like, what is anybody going to say? They're going to make fun of my beard. They're going to make fun of the fact that I've started on 7 different teams. The only guy I ever do
I can
so.
Wear DeSean like, Jackson's tracksuit. It's all
I do whatever
good.
I want.
That's life.
And, by the way, I went to Harvard, so I'm smarter than all of you, too.
Right.
So,
he's chill, like, word.
It, like, he can just play however the hell he wants to play. Like, oh, you're going to bench me again? Fine. I'll just collect these checks. Until he throws three more interceptions.
And not get hurt.
And then I'll come back. So it is a very interesting situation that he's in. I bet very few guys have been as carefree as he can be playing at the position. It's probably why he's throwing the ball all over the place fairly
well. But what we also know is he's not the long-term answer for Tampa, and there is a non-zero chance that Jameis still could be.
Right. Agreed. I think they're just going to clean house.
Which is why he's got it. Jameis has to get some snaps the rest of the year. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? Go into the offseason not knowing?
Yeah. I think you already know. Don't you already know?
You do already know, but when teams have invested a number one overall pick, they are in denial for a while.
Sunk cost.
They're in denial for a little while.
Yeah, I get it, but it's 4 years in. What are we doing?
I mean, the Dolphins still think Tannehill could be their guy.
Yeah, and speaking of Tannehill, he's out for this week. Brock Osweiler named the starter.
Seamless transition.
So we'll do some injuries, I guess, to update you all. I talked about the Derek Anderson thing. Cam Newton and Greg Olsen were both limited in practice. Torrey Smith did not practice. So for those of you that still own Torrey Smith, just keep in mind he may not play. Tannehill went through drills, but he's already been ruled out for Sunday. So Osweiler's in. Tyreek Hill practiced fully, so that's good. Linebacker Justin Houston did not practice. He missed the last three games with a hamstring injury. I wouldn't expect him back. Khalil Mack and Allen Robinson did not participate in practice. Obviously, those are two to keep an eye on as we get to tomorrow and Saturday. It could be Sunday calls on both guys if you're in IDP leagues for Mack and clearly Allen Robinson. Eagles starting quarterback Jalen Mills dealing with a foot sprain. He's week to week. New York Jets wide receiver Quincy Enunwa sat out practice. Stephon Diggs and Anthony Barr did not practice, but Diggs has been limited in practice and not in games. So Dalvin Cook, cornerback Xavier Rhodes, and tackle Linval Joseph were all limited. Here we go again with the Dalvin Cook thing, Dane. It is a practicing on Wednesday. Let's see how it reacts and maybe come back. Now, the Vikes have a bye next week. So,
so you know what they should do.
Absolutely. It should be a situation where they rest him through the bye for the stretch run. But they haven't really operated like that. They have been resting him in recent weeks, so we get that. Fournette and Cook, almost the same thing with this hamstring. It's just lingering for the entire season. I mean, it's really hampered one of my teams. That team's still doing okay, but it's really hampered one of my teams. I just had Cook sitting there every week and not getting nothing out of him.
Good thing I made the executive decision in our first round in our team to take Melvin Gordon instead of Leonard Fournette, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also, for the record, we screwed up on Gronk together.
We did.
And
absolutely.
Who was the second round pick that we got? AJ, was that? No.
Michael Thomas. No, Michael Thomas.
Yeah, that was an easy one. That was an easy one. I was very forceful about James Conner, so I feel like I also contributed.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well.
We have a sit start question that I'd like to get into on our team.
Let's do it after the break. So Edelman didn't practice. Gronk and Whiteout, Josh Gordon were both limited. So I don't think anything's terribly wrong with Edelman. It appears that he's got an illness as well. So I mentioned that Reuben Foster is out. Jaquiski Tartt and safety Anton Exum will not play Thursday night. Beathard, Breida, Garcon, Richard Sherman, all questionable. Raiders tackle T.J. Clemens will not play. That's probably an upgrade to who's ever behind him. Guard Kelechi Assembly and cornerbacks Darryl Worley and Gary Conley are all questionable. So those are the things you need to look at for tonight. Why don't you set up the start-sit? Maybe we can talk about it after the break.
Okay, it looks like, though, we ain't taking a break, baby.
Yeah,
we're going Iron Man status today, Blewett, because, yeah, that's what it looks like to me because, you know, I mean, I haven't been able to talk to you. You know, I didn't talk to you all day yesterday, so we got a lot to catch up on, all right? So it looks like we're making it happen.
All right, cool.
All right, so that being said.
Well, let me pause. Let me pause right here. So if you want to get up in touch with us this morning, it's at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Dane is at Spittin' Speeds. We can take some calls in a little while, and I'll throw out the number when we do that. We may or may not be able to take calls. A little technical issue here. For those of you listening on TuneIn Radio, on iHeartRadio, thanks for listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio app. We appreciate it. And before Dane gets to our start-sit question, again, we'll take calls in about 15 minutes or so. Congratulations to the thousands of you who had a profitable MLB daily fantasy season in 2018 using the Daily Roto MLB DFS Optimizer. Now, halfway through the NFL season, DailyRoto.com's NFL Optimizer has already produced millions in winnings for its subscribers, including multiple winners in the hundreds of thousands and a $1 million winner. With the NBA in full swing, the DailyRoto.com NBA Lineup Optimizer is now available, and subscribers are crushing on a nightly basis there. If you're hooked, you can now buy the DailyRoto.com Elite Package, giving you access year-round to the suite of successful tools and projections that DailyRoto.com subscribers have been using to print money in NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, and PGA Daily Fantasy. So when you signed up, when you sign up for the Elite Package, you get the new NFL betting tools that we've rolled out, including against the spread, money line, game totals, and player props. So head on over to DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, and check out what the Elite Package has to offer. If you don't have a problem with winning money year-round, you're going to love it. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. So here we go. What do you got? What's our start-sit question that we want to do?
Yeah, so listen, here's my question for you. I think we're fine at most spots, obviously. You know, we're so good we don't have that many decisions to make. But one that I think is interesting is we've had Tyler Gabriel in our lineup as our wideout for the last few weeks.
We've lost two in a row, by the way. Don't start cocky about it.
We have. We have. We have. You know, we've had some injuries and some buys. The Gronk injury really hurt us. You know, I still think that, you know, on a playoff kind of week when there's no buys where we can put our best lineup out there, I still think we're going to be just fine, Blue. Yeah. But we have Tyler Gabriel in there right now as our third wide receiver along with Michael Thomas and Manny Sanders. Yeah. My question for you is, should we go elsewhere at wideout? Specifically, I throw out two candidates. One would be everyone's darling this week, Cortland Sutton. My concern on that would be we've already got Manny Sanders in. Is that Tupac committed with the Denver offense? But the other option, and where I think I may be leaning right now, is Randall Cobb, who is back in Green Bay, who we expect to have a kind of shootout kind of game with New England, a back-and-forth kind of game. I think I'm leaning to put Cobb in our lineup over Gabriel. What say you, my friend?
I think it's a legit debate. I do get a little worried about the – and when I was looking over the lineups last night, I didn't put Sutton in his place because of that.
Right.
I'm going to be a little concerned.
Brandon Murchison has Sutton as wide receiver 27.
Yeah.
Brandon Murchison has Cobb – and has Gabriel and Cobb literally back-to-back. Gabriel at 37, Cobb is 38. That's Brandon Murchison's ranks. He would have, just by the ranks, Sutton. But that would mean we were going with doubling down on Broncos wideouts. But he literally has Gabriel and Cobb back-to-back, 37 and 38. And the consensus have him back-to-back at 36 and 37.
At the end of the day, you really should just go with what you feel is going to be the best projected player. And if that's Sutton, so be it. But I'm just going to keep taking a look at things through the weekend. As of right now, my lean is Gabriel. But I think I can be convinced more about Sutton than I can Cobb at this point. Cobb just...
Really?
Like, do you think... What do you think Cobb is... There's an uptick because Montgomery is gone?
No, I think that the... I look at the total for the Packers-Patriots game, and that total is 56.5. Then I look at Bears-Buffalo.
Pats just lost Eric Rowe. Pats just lost Eric Rowe for the season two, one of their corners. So,
well, there you go. And this Bills-Bears game, the over-under is 37. That's what's going for me. That's what's making me lean Cobb over Gabriel. You know, Vegas expects 20 more points in that game. That's the big factor to me. I think this Packers-Patriots game is going to be built as a Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Fame shootout. And I think if Cobb is healthy, he will be a portion of that for the Packers. And, you know, Gabriel, they may have Allen Robinson coming back. It just seems like an ugly kind of game where I think this Sunday night game, like, the production will be there.
Yeah, Pats with another national television game. So, they're going for their 10th consecutive home win in New England, 324 yards last week. I'm just looking at some of the other stats with these guys. Jamal Williams obviously had the rushing touchdown last week. Aaron Jones had 86 yards and her touchdown last week. Devontae Adams, 5 for 133. Let's see. So there's another interesting component to the to the Packers' passing offense. It's that Geronimo Allison
are they
was
now
a nobody.
Deep.
Yeah. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling is getting targeted a little bit more.
I think Valdes-Scantling is I think that's a fear for Allison owners. I don't think it's a fear for Cobb owners.
Hmm. Well,
clearly I'm lobbying for Cobb here.
You are.
But
I don't say there's any doubt you are. But
you're right.
So Edelman obviously had good numbers last week. He's 473 yards and a touchdown catch in his past six at home. So he's, you know, pretty consistent there. Josh Gordon, you and I talked about the other day. I think we kind of know what his role is here. He's going to be the third, fourth target, really, in the pass game. I think if you guess right on Gordon, on one of these games where he breaks out, kudos, but you're going to see a lot of 4 for 45s, that kind of range. You know, 4 to 6 catches. I think they'll try and keep him in the mix and make him a distraction. Could he tear the roof off the place in a playoff game? Yeah, conceivably, like Chris Hogan did a couple of years ago. I think that's possible, and we all know Chris Hogan, again, he's a piece of the offense. He's not something that the offense goes through. So, yeah, interesting there. I think that's a pretty good debate.
We also have an interesting debate as our flex at running back. You know, obviously we're starting James Conner and Melvin Gordon, right? And we're happy to do so week to week. Right now we have Mark Ingram in.
Yes, sir.
Right? There's no Dalvin Cook, if there's no Dalvin Cook, you know, Lat Murray has shown in the last, you know, few weeks with there's no Dalvin Cook there that it's viable. I mean, listen, the man the last 3 weeks against New Orleans, he had 20 points, okay? A touchdown, 56 yards and a touchdown, 5 catches. Previous week to that against the Jets, 22 points, 2 touchdowns on the ground. The week before that, 22 points, 155 yards and a touchdown. This guy, without Dalvin Cook, has been locked in for 20 points. You know, we currently have Mark Ingram. They may have to throw the ball more to keep up with the Rams. We may see Kamara on the field more there.
Daily Roto projections slightly have Ingram slightly in front of Murray, but I mean they're ranked almost right next to one another. Only Deion Lewis separates them, so only about a half a point in projections. But honestly, it's close, and I think you're right. I think we have a couple of debates this weekend. We just need to get back on the winning side of things. So that's why these decisions feel like they're more important than they have been in other weeks.
I personally, as you know, I think I lean to changing it and putting Cobb in for Gabriel. And I think personally, I'm leaning towards Lat over Mark Ingram as well. But we could debate that rest of that, you know, over text for the rest of the week.
I think we might have to cut Nelson Agholor loose. I think he's...
Yeah, with Golden Tate. Yeah, I think that's fair.
We drafted Nelson Agholor and we've hung on to him. I probably haven't played him since like week 2 or 3.
That's fair.
So let's take a look at some other games. Obviously, we just talked a little bit about Packers, Pats. Right now, that spread comes in at... Pats are -6, so it opened at 7. It's down.
I'm looking at 5.5 at mybookie.ag.
So I'm looking at Westgate right now. I'll go over to my bookie in a second to make sure that we're on the same page. But
cool.
New England at -6 right now. The total 57. So obviously a high scoring game expected, as you stated, and New England about a touchdown favorite. I'd feel comfortable enough laying the points in this one. It's a big one for Green Bay. I know they need this one, but I think the Pats are on the Patriots roll that I expected them to get on. It's when in my over-unders pool a couple of weeks ago,
right?
I really thought that the Pats would get on this roll, and I think they'll get over 11.5. But in my pool, it looked like one guy was in a really good position to go 4-0, and by doing that, the maximum I could get is 3.5. So I was really playing for the 4-0. It was a slightly arrogant way of playing, but at the same time, I'm trying to win. You know, I'm trying to avoid any kind of ties. So I'm still in play on all four of mine, even though the Pats are out of it. So I expect the Pats to take care of business again. The Packers have just been in a rough stretch here. You know, they got to go to the Rams and to New England. That's a tough stretch, and I don't expect them to come out of it. They battled well the other day. If Rodgers had gotten the ball back, I would have given them a really good shot of a major
crossing field goal. And that's why Tom Montgomery is no longer on the Packers.
He told him. They told him.
Yeah.
Take a knee.
Take a knee. Yeah.
So, what are you going to do? You tell the guy
you're going to trade him. That's what you're going to do. You're going to trade him away.
In fact, I was watching the games with the guys here after the show the other day, and I was with Sam Barnes, who hosted the other day.
Yeah.
And we're watching the Steelers game, and they safetied the Bengals. There's a holding in the end zone, and the free kick is a live ball.
Oh,
and
right. Yeah,
the Steelers let it go.
Right.
And
like it was a punt.
As if it was a punt. Obviously, the Bengals pounced on it, recovered the ball, first down Bengals, and then they scored. It was a really ridiculous play. And I said to Sam and Cardano, like, that's a coaching issue. And Cardano is saying, no, the guy let the ball go. He's got to know. And I'm like, it's a coaching problem. Sam Carnes is like, jumps in. He goes, it's a coaching problem. You need to tell those guys.
They got a huddle on the sideline before the free kick. What else are you telling them?
Exactly right. It's like we have to feel this. It's not a punt, even though they're going to punt it. It's not a punt. Yeah. It's a live ball. So same thing. And Tiger Montgomery was told. So just to give you a sense of what the Packers are looking at after this week, it's at New England now, then Miami, then at Seattle, at Minnesota. That's a really rough stretch. Coming out of the bye week, at L.A., at New England, Miami, then at Seattle, at Minnesota. That's their five games coming out of their bye week.
They could go 1-4 in that stretch.
They could, yes. They're going to hope to be like a 2-3. So, yeah.
I told a Packers fan they get two out of that stretch, I think they sign for it right now.
Yeah,
you know, the Miami and maybe at Seattle they get a W also.
Right, so they'll be 5-6-1 going into week 13. I mean, they're going to – that's an uphill battle. It gets a lot easier
they need to
after
get hot.
That. But nonetheless, it's a tough stretch for them. So let's take a look at some – how about another spotlight game that we can take a look at? Which is the game that you're looking at the most?
So what I'm intrigued by, and we've talked about a couple of them already, Blewett, this week there are four games that I'm looking at with a one-point spread that, you know, Vegas is really up in the air on. You know, Atlanta-Washington fits that category. Houston-Denver fits that category. We talk, Chargers-Seahawks, I think, is a very intriguing game to me, fits that category. And then I've mentioned it with Scott, the undefeated Rams are underdogs in the Dome in New Orleans this week. I think all four of those games at one-point spreads are very interesting.
Yeah, so let's talk about Rams-Saints. It's obviously a huge one.
Yeah.
To your point, it might be like the America's game.
Game of the week.
Yeah, America's game of the week.
I think so. There's only three games in the late afternoon slate. It's them, the Chargers, Seahawks, which is not a game of the week. And unless they go with Texans, Broncos, it's got to be Rams, Saints.
I feel pretty good about my guess there. Yeah. It's America's game of the week. So these teams are combined 14-1, a far cry from tonight's combination of 2-13. But the Rams, at least on some level, now it's Aaron Rodgers, obviously, looked vulnerable. They gave up a lot on the ground, which is kind of surprising, but nothing really needs to be said about the Rams other than that we're still monitoring Cooper Kupp. It looks like I don't know that a determination has been made for the game on Sunday, but
no, they're saying he's trending in the right direction, but nothing official.
I mean, if I'm them, I'm giving them one more week, but they might need every all hands on deck to go down to New Orleans and take that win. So Mark Ingram, to your point about our debate, he had 92 scrimmage yards last week. So he's continuing to produce. Obviously, Kamara had the two touchdowns as well. But that is an interesting one. I would think my gut reaction right now is this is where the Rams' run ends. They looked a little vulnerable last week. Maybe they're getting a little tired. I don't know what it is. But they didn't look good for a majority of the game.
Credit to
Jared Goff, though. He really played a good game, come from behind win. There was a bunch of lead changes there in that game in the second half. He had 18 passing first downs. He had three touchdowns. I thought he played a really good game in a pressure-filled game to keep them undefeated and going up against Aaron Rodgers. I thought he did a great job for those. Corey Parson was somewhat tongue-in-cheek bashing Jared Goff on Monday morning, calling him bus driver and saying he's just, you know, a product of the system and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But realistically, Goff has had an excellent season, and I was impressed with his game the other day. So right now, I would pick the Saints, though. I think the Rams may be running out of steam a little bit.
I think this is very interesting. Also, note the total at 59.5. That one may creep up into the 60s as well, which I think is very interesting. We've been kind of monitoring that. Here's the way I feel about it, Mike. I don't think the Rams are going 16-0.
That's right.
Okay? You know, like, and if you take that as, like, an assumption, right? If you agree with me that that is true, then this week is as good of a week as any for them to get that loss. Like, you know, if I look at their schedule, right, and I look at the rest of their games, I mean, week 11 against Kansas City is obviously a place where they could lose. You know, you want to tell me one of their road kind of games later on in the year, maybe at Chicago trips them up, maybe they lay a stinker somewhere. But, like, if you don't think the Rams go 16-0, if you think they will lose a game, you know, like how ESPN does, like, the win probability and all that stuff, their win probability for this week has to be the lowest for the rest of the season, you know, because they host Kansas City that on a Monday night. So I agree with you. And look at it.
Going into the year, this was their toughest game. Just looking at the slate, you would have said.
And I remember the three. Now, I also said there was that three-game road trip they just got done with at Seattle, at Denver, at San Francisco. Three games in a row. I thought that would be tough. But then, yeah, having to go to Green Bay, having Green Bay, and then at New Orleans, yeah. This is going to be the one, and Vegas thinks so too. I mean, they're undefeated, yet they're underdogs in this game.
Yeah, by the way, the Saints have won six games in a row. The only time they lost was that shocker in week one against the Ryan Fitzpatrick-led Bucks. So, good one there. Looking forward to that.
And honestly, also,
that's an all-hands-on-deck kind of game. I think both of those teams, almost every week, you're putting all hands on deck, but it could mean some stuff for tertiary players like Josh Reynolds and Tre'Quan Smith in some of your deeper leagues. Those guys might be startable.
And last thing, if the Saints do win this game, they're the one seed in the NFC. You know, they'd both have one loss, and the Saints would have the head-to-head on them. You know, and if the playoffs have to go through the dome in New Orleans in the NFC, it could be very interesting for all teams involved.
I would love that. I mean, I'd be pulling for Breeze there so that he could win and
an MVP award and stuff.
He could win. I mean, he could win every award and then walk into the sunset
the Super
if he
Bowl,
wanted.
Maybe, yeah,
you know, he could
absolutely
call it quits. 40 years old, so I certainly it's been banned.
Then we get the Teddy Bridgewater era.
There we go. Nice easy transition. I don't know that Breeze would want to walk away, but it would be a nice easy transition for him to do.
If they won the Super Bowl, it would be a nice little open window to do that.
Yeah. So other games you talked about with only the 1 point spread: the Houston Denver game, Atlanta Washington, but. Really, as far as the other high-profile games this week, I do think that Pittsburgh-Baltimore is there as well. Yeah. I think the Steelers are going to try to – I mean, they're in control of the division now as it is, but this would be a big one because you're putting Baltimore – this is exactly what I thought the Ravens would be. They'd have good weeks, bad weeks. Right now they're 4-4. Yep. This is a big one for them to keep their head above water. If they could be at 5-4 – Bengals on a bye, and then the Steelers could drop to 4-3-1, so it muddies the waters a lot, but I would take the
Baltimore
Steelers
much
here.
Better at home.
They
Steelers
are.
Not as great on the road.
It's very true, and Vegas has Baltimore as a 3-point favorite.
2.5 on my bookie,
so,
which is
yeah.
a big difference.
Yeah, it really is. So I'm going to go to my bookie, so we're looking at the same odds there.
So good. I'm seeing it 2.5 for the Ravens and 47.5 as well.
So my thought is generally that, yes, Baltimore could be tough at home. They could give Roethlisberger a hard time like they did in their first meeting. But I don't know that Vegas has this one right because they're basically saying these teams are about even, but you're giving Baltimore the bump for being at home.
Home field.
I think the Steelers are a decent amount better than the Ravens on the whole, just top to bottom. I know they didn't play great at the beginning of the year defensively, but I think they're a little bit better. I would take the Steelers here. I'll take those points. I think they're going to get the win. It would surprise me if the Ravens swept them this year. But so there you go. It's my take on the Steelers. I think you're out there with Brown and Connor and Juju and Ben, Vance McDonald. I suppose as far as the Ravens,
six people on bye.
Yeah.
You know, Ertz on a bye, both Colts tight ends on
That's
a
right.
bye. I think you can roll with Vance.
Yeah, Ertz is a bad one for me. I haven't even picked anybody up yet. I'm just waiting to see who's left of the streaming tight ends by the end of the week
and
who's not injured before I pick somebody up. So my question to you is, from a Ravens standpoint right now, who do you feel comfortable starting?
Good question. I believe that because six teams are on our bye, I believe Alex Collins is an RB2. I believe he's startable this week. I would not go many other places, okay? Because I agree with you on this game.
So difficult.
Yeah. And they throw the ball to like four different tight ends, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, literally four. Okay, there's Mark Andrews, there's Hayden Hurst, there's Max Williams, and there's Nick Boyle. Literally four tight ends they could throw the ball to. Literally three running backs they can throw the ball to, now with Ty Montgomery in there as well. And all these wide receivers. Listen, John Brown was nice when he was scoring a touchdown four straight weeks earlier in the season, but Joe Flacco has come back down to earth, and in a corollary move, so has John Brown. We know Willie Snead is kind of just like a safe floor, 5-for-52 kind of guy, and Crabtree hasn't really done much either, and this is not the kind of fantasy herd that I want the shepherd of in Joe Flacco. So my answer to you is really not a whole lot, and that goes into my game pick here as well, Blewett. I'm with you. I like the Steelers. I think that the Ravens kind of started fast, but are now kind of collectively coming back down to earth, mostly because of Flacco and because no defense in the NFL is trustable, shall we say. Yeah. And I actually think the Pittsburgh Steelers, I actually think they are, you know, you know how people say the Patriots just take September, the first four games, as an extended preseason?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying the Steelers are doing the same thing, but it seems like they're just starting. They're primed to, like, go from second to third gear right now. And so I think these are teams going in opposite directions. I like Pittsburgh in this one also.
They're also missing one of the star players in the whole league. So that
sure
can't be discounted.
But, I mean, James Conner has been, like, RB5. So.
Yeah, he's been great. So, but I think from a – just the way they run their offense, I think they've had to make some adjustments to that. So there you go. We'll break down more games tomorrow. I usually just like to take a look at a couple of high-profile ones and then the Thursday night game. But we're going to line up some calls right now at 844-843-6879. Nice. That's 84-FNTSY. Give us a call. If you have any questions, we'll take two or three calls. But Ty Montgomery now in the mix in Baltimore, too. I don't know how that changes things with the Javorius Allen, Alex Collins thing. I don't expect much. I didn't expect much. Yeah. What is it, Green Bay?
I just think Alex Collins, you know, you might get a touchdown out of him, so that makes him an RB2 or a back, especially with six teams on a bye.
Got it. Okay, so, we're going to take some calls right here. I think we got somebody. Yeah, okay. We have a caller. What do you got for us?
Hey, it's Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
What's going on, Chris?
Good, how are y'all?
All right.
Go ahead.
I got a question for sit or start for my flex in a PPR league.
Sure.
I've got Cohen, Eckler, Thompson, or Sutton.
That's the ultimate flex question. Cohen, yeah. Eckler, Thompson, or Courtland Sutton?
Thompson, we don't know if he's going to be healthy or not.
I think it's Cohen.
So it wouldn't be him. For me, I was going to say, for me, it's either Cohen or Sutton. If you believe that Sutton's breakout is right now, then I could understand that. But I think the safest play, especially because he said it's a PPR format, would be Tariq Cohen.
Tariq Cohen all day on that one. It's a good question. You have a few decent options here, but I'm going Tariq Cohen there. So
yeah, we agree. It's Cohen.
So, Dane, just back to some of those transactions, we'll wrap it up with the Thursday night game. And if we haven't, thanks, Chris. So if we have any other if we have any other calls, we'll take those as well. But just to wrap up on the waiver wires, there was a lot of kicker action and defense action because of those buys. But Courtland Sutton really was going away the top add in a lot of leagues. Will Fuller, the top drop. Obviously, he's on IR. Ryan Fitzpatrick, we saw a lot of action with him. Raheem Mostert getting dropped by a lot of people here. I'm looking at the Yahoo transaction trends.
I think you're right on our team. Like Aguilar is going to be get dropped a lot.
Yeah, too. Yeah. Geronimo Allison. He's bye-bye. Ty Montgomery actually got picked up by some people as well. So I think maybe people are hoping that his fortune changed.
Yeah, it's possible that Ty Montgomery takes over the Buck Allen role. It's possible that in 3 weeks or by your fantasy playoffs, Baltimore is a straight-up like traditional timeshare with Alex Collins early and Ty Montgomery as the two-minute offense PPR kind of guy.
Yeah.
It's possible. So I understand taking the spec ad on Tymont in that way.
Yeah. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, we talked about before, he got picked up a lot. Other guys, Kenyon Barner got dropped by a lot of people. Austin Hooper got picked up. Ed Dixon got picked up by a lot. Tyrell Williams hanging out there for the Chargers. So Carlos Hyde is on a bye this week, and people dumped him. I'm in trouble now because I have a lot of Carlos Hyde this year. And I think it's toast. Like, I think his value is totally
shot. Yeah, because Big Leonard comes back, right? Yeah. After the bye, we think?
Yeah. So, he probably is a cuttable player. I wouldn't do it unless you have a really good option because of Fournette's health. But
right.
Carlos, I just smoked. As soon as that trade happened, I knew I was smoked in a couple of leagues that he's just a droppable player. So, I'm going to run thinner at running back from here on out. That's just the way it's going to go. I'm not going to find any to replace what his early season value is, but the reality is I knew exactly what that would be. I didn't expect him to get traded, but I knew he wasn't going to have a lot of value long term. We do have another call. We got Chris, who has in Chicago, I believe, and he's got a question about wide receivers and QBs. What do you got, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Actually, it's a flex question.
Okay.
And who should I put in? It's a PPR. I got Kerryon Johnson in there, but I scooped up Jones Jr. on Monday before the trade.
Marvin Jones?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So you just want one of those two, Lions.
Yep.
Okay. Dane, what do you got?
It's Kerryon Johnson for me.
Yeah.
Kerryon Johnson is the safer guy. You know, like when you're debating with a running back and a wide receiver, even in PPR formats, you know, the running back has more guaranteed touches. You know, think about it. Bet like a normal day, right? Kerryon Johnson's going to touch the ball roughly 20 times. Okay. Marvin Jones, you know, is going to catch the ball, what, 7 times? You're excited about that, right? So the potential is there more for Kerryon Johnson. I also really believe we don't know about Theo Riddick, and we're starting to see Kerryon Johnson have a bigger role in the passing game. I actually think, obviously, Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay soak up some of the Golden Tate opportunity, but I also believe I also really believe that Kerryon Johnson might grow in the pass game a little bit as well. So the answer for me is Kerryon Johnson, Mike.
So I'm going to go with Dane to make it easy for you, but I will say this. Well, first of all, Dane, I got lucky the other day because of bye weeks. I had to play Marvin Jones. I haven't been playing him in one league, and he exploded for a huge game.
That worked out.
The Daily Roto projections have all three of these guys right in a row and all within 0.07 of a point. So I think some extent...
Go with your gut.
Yeah. So Kerryon Johnson is in front, and okay, your reasoning is correct. You go with the running back here, but I think it is indicative of maybe industry-wide, not confusion, but uncertainty as to exactly what these roles will be with Golden Tate out. We haven't really seen it without Golden Tate, and we'll see what it looks like going forward. But I would bet on, of the three, I would bet on Kerryon Johnson this week and moving forward. We'll see what happens on Sunday so that we can get a better picture of it, but that's the deal. Right. We got one more
call.
Same
thing in Philly.
Yeah.
We got, with the offense, you know?
Agreed. I think we have to see what it looks like with Golden Tate in the mix now. Who would you rather have, Golden Tate or Demaryius Thomas?
Interesting. Demaryius Thomas, I think, just because it's more of a herd in Philly.
Yeah,
right? In Houston, I know it's D-Hop and going to be DT, in my opinion. Yeah. I think Kiki QT is, you know, cast aside.
Yeah, we got a call in Philly. What do you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's Kenny. How you guys?
Hey, Kenny, what's cowboy, up, man? How you feeling?
How you doing, man? All right. I'm in a league that I have Zeke White and Nick Chubb. Carlos Hyde is droppable. I'm glad you just mentioned him because he's probably another guy. I got a question who's droppable. Is Chris Hogan now? Now that
Hogan is droppable, but Kenny, here's the only thing with Hyde, real quick. You know, there is a non-zero chance that Fournette just, you know, gets banged up. They run him out there and he gets injured again or re-aggravates something. Like, I do think that there's the potential for that, and in that universe, Hyde is still usable. So I don't know if I drop him just yet. You know, you want to see if Fournette's all the way back.
Yeah, like Hyde could be just right, the last guy on your bench, right, Kenny, for now.
Right.
Right, but then even in that, Yeldon to be more valuable than Hyde.
I agree.
I got Deion Lewis on the end of my bench. I might have Deion Lewis on the end of my bench. That's why I was saying I probably could drop Hyde.
Sure, that works better. I'd rather have Lewis, too.
I would, too. Absolutely.
What else?
I know you got perfect time. I'll call you tomorrow with DFS. So all right, that's cool. All good.
No,
guys.
Go ahead, Kenny.
What do you got?
Kenny.
We got a couple minutes.
What you got? It's all good, baby. What you got?
I'm actually going to be targeting that Titans Denver game near their speed. I do agree with you. That's going to be probably an under-owned game with the especially with my Saints and Rams game there and the KC and Cleveland game. You know, everybody going to stack KC or whatever.
So, and I'm thinking, listen, Cortland Sutton at 5,500 on FanDuel. That's ridiculous. These prices came out before the trading deadline, people. Okay, so I got Cortland Sutton in my lineup at 5,500, and I got Kenny Golladay in my lineup at 6,200.
If you're going to stack game, you have to stack it with Watson, obviously not with Keenum. Keenum would be the contrarian play, but then you're banking on Case Keenum, which you don't really like to do.
Yeah, but there's still values here because, you know, pre-trade deadline prices.
Totally true. So... Yes. All right, Kenny. Well, if you got anything else, let us know.
All right, fellas. All right.
All right. So
sounds good, Kenny. I'll talk to you soon.
Good stuff. So, let's wrap it up with this game tonight.
Man, yeah.
What an absolute.
Am I correct that this game is not one of your three official picks or your official survivor
pick this week?
Yeah, I don't
want to get anywhere near this.
Am I correct?
I don't want to get anywhere near.
I thought so. I just wanted to ask.
You know, like when you're talking about Nick Mullins, like.
Yeah.
You start throwing names like that around, which 99% of the football watching audience don't even know who they are. Like, we got problems. So,
yeah, I mean, but it's not like we don't have problems with Jalen Richard and Raheem Mostert either.
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed.
Pettis, you know, and stuff like this. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm not. Look, I'm not entirely thrilled about this altogether. So, no, clearly we got. So tonight is this game that it's probably, as far as primetime games are concerned this year, maybe the least exciting.
Color Rush jerseys, seen. Baby.
Is it? Beautiful. Oh,
I don't know. Oh, I'm just saying they need to, because they got to add something to this, right?
Yeah. Color Rush seemed to have gone the way of the dodo. Some of those were pretty cool, but I don't think they're doing that
anymore. That mustard-colored Jaguars one a few years back?
Why not? I say put them out there, like, just for fun. You see it once a year. I have to watch those Steelers.
And then they're on the concession stand.
I had to watch those Steelers Bumblebee jerseys a million times. I can watch the all-black
ones. The Prisoners.
Yeah. Yeah, the all-black Color Rush ones that they had were probably the nicest ones out there. So, all right, man. Well, we did it without commercial breaks. We got like a minute and a half left. What knowledge do you want to drop on me? Any NFL news stories that you feel excited about, that you feel like...
Oh, I got one to ask you. Yeah. You know, we got the six teams on bye. I was asking Scott about this real quick. How do you handle byes? You know, like, as your strategy, do you plan for byes as early as the draft? Are you on some, like, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it?
More that.
And I've also heard, okay, but I've also, I want to add option C. I had one or two people tell me that they swing the pendulum the exact other way, that they actually stack byes on purpose and then, like, punt that 1 week and then know they have no bye concerns the rest of the season. How do you feel about that?
I think it's an ineffective strategy, because it means you're predicting that all of your players will stay healthy as the bye week happens. We see this. It always gets jammed up, and it means you also think you're drafting a perfect team. That, like, I'll be fine to win the other 12 weeks. I'll just punt that one. It's like, all right.
Well, right, and go 12-1. You're assuming you're going 12-1.
Garoppolo got hurt, and Ty Montgomery stinks, and this other guy that you drafted has to get cut. So, you know, if you're really going in targeting that, I think you're actually hampering yourself to trying to pick certain players. You're going to influence yourself in a way that you don't need to be influenced. Like, in the Scott Fishbowl League, I screwed myself. Like, I picked Tom Brady and Josh Allen as the third QB. Yeah. They're both on bye week 11. Now, I don't know if Josh Allen was going to come back anyway, but I just got
to
deal with it.
But you're starting to plan for your bye weeks. You said you're starting to plan for your bye weeks. So how?
I think you do it two, three weeks out.
How much lead time do you do?
Yeah,
two, 3 weeks.
Two, 3 weeks. You know, I've picked up some defenses and suffered through one bad game, as opposed to waiting until after the bye week to do it. So anyway, that's it. We'll be coming back tomorrow with Football Friday. It's Mike and Dane. We're out.